The Israelites, under the leadership of Moses, had escaped Egypt and, by miracles of the Most High God, had made their way to Mount Sinai, where they remained for nearly a year. Here their worship had taken definite form, and a more efficient organization had been effected preparatory to their entrance into the land of Canaan. God himself directed the Israelites in all their travels. The place of their encampment was indicated by the descent of the pillar of cloud, and so long as they were to remain in camp, the cloud rested over the sacred tabernacle. When they were to break camp and continue their journey, the pillar of cloud lifted high above the tabernacle. At last, after almost a year at Mount Sinai, the cloud lifted high in the heavens.
Aaron, the cloud above the tabernacle is lifting.
Oh, at last, we're to move on towards the promised land. It's only 11 days' march to Kadesh on the borders of Canaan. And then home to the land of promise.
Why, you sound happy about it.
I am. Soon we will be home in the land of milk and honey. Aren't you? Happy, I mean?
We've been here so long, it seems almost like home. Look out there at Mount Sinai. Oh, it's a beautiful sight, Aaron.
Well, I'll admit that I love to look at the peaks and barren ridges of Mount Sinai, where divine glory has so often been displayed. The scene reminds me that this place is closely associated with God and holy angels. I don't think we should leave with thoughtlessness and gladness, yet we should be happy that God is leading us on to the promised land.
Well, I still say this seems like home to me.
Oh, you women, sentimental and emotional. But I mustn't linger. I must see that everything is prepared to move on.
At last, everything was in readiness to march forward. At the head were Moses and Aaron, accompanied by priests bearing silver trumpets. Next came the 12 tribes, each marching in order under its own banner. The marchers stood still, all eyes turned anxiously to see in which direction the pillar of cloud would move. As usual, a solemn invocation by Moses marked the occasion.
Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. Amen.
I wonder which direction the pillar of cloud will lead us.
To the north, towards Canaan, of course.
It's moving.
Moses is signaling the trumpeters. We're on our way to the promised land, home.
Facing ugly mountain passes and stony paths, the people experienced a feeling of sadness and doubt. As they advanced farther and farther, the way became more and more difficult. Soon the rocky gorges, far and near, were thronged with men, women, and children, with beasts and wagons, and long lines of flocks and herds. Their progress was slow and toilsome, hard. The people, after their long encampment at Mount Sinai, were unprepared to endure the perils and hardships of the way. After 3 days of hard, wearisome travel, they arrived at Tabersh. Many of them cross, dissatisfied and complaining. As usual, when Israel stopped to camp, Moses pronounced his solemn invocation.
Return now, O Lord, unto these many thousands of Israelites, thy chosen people.
By this time, the dissatisfaction and complaining had spread to the entire multitude. When Moses heard of it, he was sore distressed and went to the Lord in prayer.
O Lord of the Most High, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob,
Wherefore hast thou afflicted me? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest upon me the burden of all these complaining people? Alone, it is too heavy for me. Grant unto me help, O Lord, that thy people may be led into the paths of righteousness, according to thy holy will.
The Lord hearkened to Moses' prayer and directed him to choose 70 men of the elders of Israel as counselors and helpers.
You men standing before me have been chosen for a special task. You are advanced in years. You possess dignity, sound judgment, and experience. I myself have chosen you by permission of God. You will share with me the responsibility of governing Israel.
There was at least one person in that great multitude who was not happy about Moses selecting those 70 elders. It was a woman, a jealous, envious woman. Two brothers and a sister, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, had been given high honor by God. They were the leaders of Israel. Aaron and Miriam, along with Moses, had been endowed with the prophetic gift, and all three had been closely associated in delivering Israel from Egypt. Richly endowed with the gifts of poetry and music, Miriam had led Israel in song and praise on the shore of the Red Sea. Far over the sea and desert had rung the joyous refrain.
Sing ye to Jehovah, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Egypt's horse and rider hath he thrown into the sea. The deeps cover them. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will exalt him. I will praise him.
There came a time, however, when the same evil that brought discord in heaven sprang up in the heart of Miriam. It happened during Israel's encampment at Rephidim, before they had reached Mount Sinai. It was the first evidence of a jealous, envious Miriam.
Aaron, did you hear what Moses just did?
No, Miriam. What did Moses just do?
He appointed rulers over the people. A chief ruler or prince over each of the 12 tribes, and lesser rulers over thousands, hundreds, and even down to tens.
I don't see anything wrong with that. They can help in minor matters. It'll relieve a lot of responsibility from Moses and you and me.
I don't mind the rulers being appointed. It's the way they were appointed.
How were they appointed?
Why, without our counsel and help.
Why, Miriam, I believe you're jealous.
I am not. Will you and I share the responsibility equally with Moses of governing Israel? He should have consulted us, that's all.
He probably sought counsel from God.
Oh, no, he didn't. It was all Zipporah's doings.
Zipporah? Moses' wife?
Oh, you needn't act so shocked, Aaron. In spite of her so-called gentle and timid disposition, she's really a troublemaker, a busybody.
Why, Miriam...
These new rulers are her idea. She's trying to take away some of my power and discredit me with Moses.
That's hard to believe, Miriam.
Well, it's true, Aaron. She went to her father...
Jethro.
Jethro's her father, isn't he? Well, she went to him with her idea, and he went to Moses, and Moses appointed those rulers. So there you have it.
But Jethro's a priest and prince of Midian. He wouldn't do anything dishonest.
Oh, Zipporah's clever. Her father didn't realize the whole thing was a plan to discredit me.
Miriam, you're jealous of Zipporah.
I am not jealous of her.
Well, whether you are or not, your attitude is unhealthy. You should get it out of your mind. I'm your brother, Miriam, and I know what you're thinking about Zipporah isn't true. Now, I insist that you stop saying such things, even thinking them.
All right, Aaron, if you say so.
And so the jealousy and envy in Miriam's heart was brought under control by the strength of Aaron's advice. But that same envy was brought back into being again when Moses chose the council of elders at Tabor.
Did you know, Aaron, that Moses just got through appointing 70 elders as his council?
Yes, Miriam, I know all about it.
Well, certainly you don't approve.
Well, why not? They can be lots of help to Moses in administrating the law and judging the people.
You're not really happy about it, I can tell.
Well, I'll admit that I do think Moses should have consulted us in the appointment. On the other hand, we must remember that Moses has an important and great work to do. A greater work than any other man has ever been called upon to endure.
Oh, yes, yes, I know all that, Aaron. I also know that you have been called to do a great work. You have the right to expect consideration by Moses in all things, especially such important things as the appointment of 70 elders to a council.
I wonder why Moses didn't consult me, us.
Moses is ignoring us, Aaron.
Yes, but why?
He wants all the glory to himself. That's why he and Zipporah.
Well, I don't think Zipporah had anything to do with this.
Well, I do. She's a Cushite woman, that...
Zipporah?
Yes, Zipporah.
Why, she's not a Cushite. She's a Midianite, a descendant of Abraham.
Well, she's not an Israelite. And Moses had no business marrying a foreigner. Well, he's the leader of Israel. He should have had enough national and family pride to have taken a wife from among the Israelites.
Zipporah's a nice woman. Gentle, affectionate, long-suffering, and a good wife to Moses.
A good wife. Do you call deserting Moses when he most needed her being a good wife?
When did she desert him?
When he was on his way to Egypt. She turned around and went back to her mother, afraid to face the hardships of Egypt.
Well, I think that was Moses' doing. I think he wanted to spare her the horror of witnessing the judgments that were to fall on the Egyptians.
Well, I have nothing but contempt for her.
Now, Miriam...
Well, why shouldn't I? She hates me. She influenced Moses to neglect me. And you too, Aaron.
Oh, I doubt that.
Since she joined us, Moses hasn't taken you and me into his confidence as he did before. Now, has he?
Well, it doesn't seem like it.
Well, what are we going to do about it, dear brother?
Do?
We're certainly going to do something.
What?
Well, we have a right to share and share equally with Moses all the responsibilities and honor of governing Israel, don't we?
We were given that position, yes.
Well, don't you think that you're as efficient and capable as Moses?
I don't want to say.
Well, I'm your sister, Aaron. Don't be so modest, you can speak plainly to me.
Frankly, I think I have more natural ability than Moses ever had. He has to rely on God for his strength. I don't. And I... But I failed once, Miriam. I was weak. Had I been stronger and held firmly to the right, I could have dissuaded the people from making the golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai.
Everyone's entitled to at least one mistake, Aaron.
Well, yes, I guess you're right.
You agree with me, then, that Moses has neglected and ignored us.
Yes, he has.
And that his wife, that Cushite woman, should be banished from our midst.
Yes, Miriam, I share your jealousy.
Oh, it isn't jealousy, Aaron.
Well, whatever it is.
Oh, it's just plain common sense, that's what it is.
I think we should have it out with Moses.
Two minds with the same thought. Come on, let's go.
Afternoon, Miriam. Aaron?
We want to talk to you, Moses.
Well, I'm glad you do. The three of us seldom get a chance to talk.
You have got to get rid of that woman, Moses.
Hmm? What woman?
She means Zipporah.
My wife?
She's a troublemaker, Moses. As long as she's in camp, God will not bless us.
And you neglect us, ignore us, because of her.
We were chosen to lead our people out of Egypt and into the promised land.
We were given the gift of prophecy. We talk to God, and he to us the same as he does to you.
We were all three chosen, Moses, on an equal basis to lead Israel.
But do you consider us your equal? You do not. You appoint elders. You judge the people. You do lots of things without even consulting either Miriam or myself.
It's an insult to our abilities and God-appointed responsibilities.
Well?
Disloyalty to me is disloyalty also to God.
Disloyal? Oh, Moses, it's you who are disloyal.
Get rid of Zipporah, and all this evil will cease.
You had no business marrying a Cushite woman in the first place, Moses.
Wrath is cruel, And anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?
Oh, you mistake our motives, Moses. We are not envious.
Not a bit. It's just that Zipporah's a troublemaker. Get rid of her.
Where envy and jealousy are, there is confusion and every evil work.
I can see that there's no use to even talk to you.
Of course not, Aaron. His wife has him wound around her little finger. Oh, she's a vicious one. And she certainly knows how to use all
Aaron,
her...
Miriam, I bid you look toward the tabernacle at the pillar of cloud above the tabernacle.
Why, it's moving.
What does it mean?
The cloud is disappearing.
Moses, what does it mean?
It's gone. Completely disappeared.
God is displeased with you, Aaron. You and Miriam. Especially with you, Miriam.
What have I done?
You are a strong-willed woman, my sister. You have been richly endowed by God with many fine gifts and abilities. You stand high in the affections of our people. Yet dissatisfaction, envy, and pride have found their way into your heart. The pillar of cloud has disappeared from the tabernacle as a token of God's displeasure.
But I haven't done anything, Moses.
And you, Aaron, had you stood firmly for the right, you might have checked the evil in Miriam's heart, but instead you sympathized with her, listened to her words of complaint until you shared her jealousy.
Miriam, you're white as snow.
God is punishing her. He has smitten her with leprosy.
No.
Leprosy?
No, no.
The wages of sin is death.
Oh, Moses, we have sinned. We have sinned against God and against you. I confess my sin and plead for forgiveness. In Miriam's punishment, I am severely rebuked. My pride is humbled, Moses, and I plead with you. Take away this leprosy from Miriam.
God brought it upon her. And only God can take it away.
Isn't there something you can do?
I can seek God in prayer and plead for clemency. O God of love and mercy, my sister and brother have sinned against thee. Yet lay it not to their charge. If it please thee, O God, let me pay the penalty. Let me be cast from thy sight and thy love. Banish me from the mercies of thy long suffering. For am I not their keeper? I have failed them. Do unto me what pleases thee, O God. Only forgive Aaron and Miriam. Take from her this terrible scourge. Restore her to health. Bless her and keep her forever in the paths of righteousness.
And the Lord God of Israel heard the pleas of Moses and cleansed Miriam from leprosy.
It's a wonderful feeling, Moses, to be cleansed from a vile disease like leprosy.
It's even more wonderful, Miriam, to be cleansed from the loathsome disease of sin.
God has forgiven me?
Of course he has, Miriam. He's forgiven both of us.
Yes, God has forgiven you. Yet, the penalty of sin must be paid. Miriam, you are the chief offender, so you must pay the penalty.
Death?
No. You confessed your sin and God forgave you. That erased the penalty of death. Eternal death.
Then why must she pay at all?
Had she cut off a finger, all the confession, sorrow, and forgiving in the world would not bring back that finger. So it is with sin. Once the sin is done, nothing can undo it. The penalty must be paid. Miriam brought suffering and dissatisfaction to many people by her complaining and jealousy.
Is there no way out, Moses? Anything I can do to erase the penalty?
True repentance of a sin should bring with it a willingness to pay the penalty.
All right, Moses. What is the penalty?
You are to be banished from the camp.
Oh. Banished from camp?
No. No, Moses. I'll die out there in the wilderness.
Look toward the tabernacle. The pillar of cloud is still absent. Until you have been banished from camp, Miriam, the symbol of God's favor will not again rest upon the tabernacle.
But Moses, banishment is a sentence of death.
I sinned, Aaron, and I must pay the penalty.
You will be banished from camp for 7 days. At the end of which...
7 days? Only 7 days?
You may return to camp on the 8th day.
Yes, but Moses, even 7 days in that wilderness for a woman is dangerous. There are wild beasts, all kinds of wild beasts, even lions.
I'll be all right, Aaron.
But the nights, Miriam, where will you sleep? What will you eat? How will you protect yourself? What will...
Don't worry about it, Aaron. God will take care of me.
But you're a woman and I... Yes, Miriam, you're right. God will take care of you, if you trust him.
I trust him implicitly. I know that whatever happens to me out there in the wilderness will be God's will. And if I perish, I perish.
I'm sorry, Miriam, but you must go now. God be with you.
Goodbye, Moses. Goodbye, Aaron. Goodbye.
May I have your attention, please? Please! My dear people of Israel, I have called you together to discuss a very important and vital item and to confess a grievous sin. As you know, Miriam has been banished from camp, but her sin is mostly mine. I could have prevented it, but I did not. I confess to that sin and ask your forgiveness. Now I want an expression from you. We can move on toward the promised land, or we can remain here, awaiting Miriam's return. What is your wish?
Let's wait for Miriam. She's a great woman, and I want to wait for her.
What about the pillar of cloud, Aaron? If it moves on, we have to move on too, don't we?
In this instance, the Lord God of Israel is awaiting your decision and will abide by it.
Then, by all means, let us remain here.
But, Aaron, have we any assurance that Miriam will return?
No.
After all, she is a woman, and the wilderness out there is a dangerous place, even for a man.
We can only hope and pray and wait. If she does not return on the 8th day, we must believe that it is God's will, and we will move on toward Canaan without her.
Seven days passed. Very early on the 8th day, before it was yet light, Aaron arose from his bed and went outside.
Dawn is just breaking.
Good morning, Aaron.
You here too, Moses?
Yes, I too am anxious about Miriam. In fact, almost the entire camp is facing toward the wilderness, watching, waiting for the first sight of Miriam.
Do they really think that much of her?
Yes, she has won their sympathy and respect. They love her, Aaron.
Will she come back? Or will the wilderness claim her?
We can only wait, Aaron.
It's Miriam!
What is that? Listen!
Miriam! She's coming back!
It's Miriam! She's alive! She's coming back! Did you hear that, Moses? Miriam's coming into camp!
Yes, I heard, Aaron. I will sing unto Jehovah, for he is my God. Praise be unto God.
Our God has guided Miriam and kept her. Who is like unto him? Praise be unto God. Glory unto his name. He is my God. He will watch over and protect me. Jehovah is his name.